The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tomorrow I will be interviewing the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred.
When do Gabe and I get to give you questions to
what
ask?
Do you mean, when do you get to give me questions?
I feel like two.
I would ask you to stay tonight, but I only have the sofa bed, and it's where I sleep.
Well, we'll have to sleep head to toe.
All fans
what
on this station.
What do you want to ask the commissioner?
When's
what
he going to juice the balls again?
Yeah. So where's my jacket?
Oh, I must have left it at James's.
Spent the night at James's, did we?
Yeah, but we reversed positions, so there was no funny business.
I got one. Are we still pretending like you can't see genitals through the player's uniform?
Yeah, classic. Uniform questions, hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, and you know how much I love talking about genitals, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's going to make the interview either.
It's a great question,
what the
though,
hell
Josh.
Are you doing?
Yeah, Matthew, I don't understand what's going on here.
Matthew.
Reverse position?
Yeah, you know, head to toe.
So what? Your genitals are still lined up?
No, because I slept with my back to him.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Pretty big week for the Milwaukee Brewers, guys, as they swept the Texas Rangers. And it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the outcome. And, of course, that the Brewers are still atop the division and still just a few games back of the top teams in the National League, in the Phillies and the Dodgers. They're in a very good spot. Taking care of the teams in the division, taking care of teams outside of the division, winning series. Did you guys talk to Sophia Minert yesterday?
We did.
I'll have to go back and listen to that conversation because I did not get a chance to hear it yesterday as I was in New York. But did you see the Jackson Churio inside the park home run? It was all over social media. It sounds fantastic. Let's take a listen to Jackson Churio yesterday with the inside the park home run against the Texas Rangers.
Little soft liner into center and diving and not making the catch is Hill. It gets behind him and Jackson's off to the races. He's around second. He is sprinting around third. Here comes the throw to the plate. Churio's in there safely. Jackson Churio, a trip around the bases, and we are tied at five. And inside the park home run for the 20-year-old Jackson Churio.
Now, that is fantastic. That is exciting. Gabe, you said you were in the building when this happened. What did it feel like?
Oh, it's electric factory. Because the second the outfield, because you know Jackson Churio's fast. He had the
14.7, I believe.
Yeah, he had the fastest, like, because he earlier, just a little while ago in Los Angeles against the Angels, he did that. They said some errors occurred there, so it wasn't a true inside the park home run. But you know he's got the speed. Once that ball gets past the outfielder, you're going, oh boy, this could happen. So you're constantly looking back and forth. Okay, where's the ball? Where's Jackson? Okay, where's the ball? Where's Jackson? Where's the ball? Where's Jackson? And you're trying to figure out if he's actually going
to
pull
off. And once he gets that green light at third.
Yeah, then it just becomes, you know, you're holding your breath for the final 90 feet if he's going to get in there or not.
So, Chewy, it wasn't the only exciting play. The Brewers have also had a number of grand slams. I saw a post by the Milwaukee Brewers, 3 grand slams in 5 days. A grand slam is one of those things that, like, happens probably more frequently than an inside-the-park home run, but it's still electric. It's still exciting. It feels like the Brewers right now, Chew, are hitting all the right buttons, pulling all the right levers, and I'm excited for what this team can do in the second half of the season.
Yeah, so am I. I was going to ask you guys, when, and Gabe, you're the baseball aficionado here, when at the All-Star break, when are teams dead? Like, if the Cubs are 11 back at the All-Star break, are they done? Are they done?
More than likely at the break, yes, because the trade deadline's coming up shortly after that. But, I mean, teams can make runs. Like, you look at what the Mets are doing right now. Like, the Mets, everybody thought were dead, and every national article seemed like, well, it's going to be another fire sale for the Mets. And they've been able to rally, get back to 500, and because the National League is in the shape it's in, they're alive for a wild card spot. So it's a little different now because they have more wild card spots, Chew. And I think teams and people are still trying to figure out what that means, trying to get into the wild card. How far back is too far back?
But that would have to be a huge implosion by the Brewers, which I see happening.
Oh yeah, like I don't think
You have St. Louis 6 back, you have Pittsburgh 8.5, and Cincinnati 10.5. They're done. There would have to be an implosion.
In terms of winning the division, yes, I think that the Cubs are not catching the Brewers. In terms of being a playoff team, that's a different conversation because as of right now, there are only a handful of teams above 500 in the National League.
Look, if the Brewers could sustain and get through all of the injuries that they have in the first half of the season and still be atop the division, still be taking care of business, I feel very good that, like, what else is going to derail this squad? The injuries that they have had, we were laughing with Sophia several weeks ago about how they had piled up at that point, and she was saying, Uncle, no more mercy. We can't deal with, you know, like, this is, we've paid our dues. We've already had too many guys who are, you know, the most recent one, of course, is Gasser, who's on the 60-day now. I believe that's the most recent one. Unless there's been something.
Yeah, he's out. He's getting surgery. He's going to be out for 12 or 14.
Unless there's something that has happened in the last week or so. But, Chu, what I wanted to ask you was, is the inside-the-park home run the most exciting play in baseball? Is it the most exciting thing that you can see?
No. Triple play. A good triple play. I was saying... A triple play that involves a deep catch in the outfield, throwing the runner out at home, and then picking another runner off another base. If I was involved in a triple play, that's how I'd want to do it. And I would want to be the outfielder.
I can't imagine.
I think that would be better than
that many triple plays that happen like that.
Yeah. So anything with a 7, 8, or a 9 in it.
Yeah, like the, just being that
no
specific
way.
About
Absolutely
the triple
not.
Play.
I feel like all triple plays, most triple plays are 1s, 4s, 6s, 3s. Yeah, maybe there's a 5 in there like there was the other day with the Phillies.
But that's the thing. I mean, that one ended up being anticlimactic because it was just kind of a soft liner back to the pitcher. Runners ended up taking off thinking it was going to get past the pitcher.
Yeah, that was weak.
So, they throw over to first to get that runner that had taken off from first base. The runner from third to home had taken off. So then they just lob it across the diamond because you know you're getting the out. And it's just kind of, yeah, okay, I guess that's 3 outs. All right, let's go back to the
dugout, Larson,
guys.
Maybe you can check this out as we're conversing about this and see if there has ever been a triple play in Major League Baseball that involved an outfielder. So we're just looking for like a 7, 8, 9 out there.
Let me ask you guys this, and I know that the Brewers still have a lot of baseball left, but what was a bigger undersell? The Packers season last year or the Brewers this year? Because wasn't the under-over like 78 or even lower than that, and they're going to shatter that. Why did the pundits get it so wrong when it came to the Brewers?
Because they lost Corbin Burns, and we knew that Woodruff would be out for the season, even though they obviously were able to bring him back, and they thought that losing those two pitchers was going to be, especially a team that has relied almost exclusively on its staff, they were going to have a down year.
Devin Williams was going to be out for the first half of the season. You lost Craig Counsell. Is Pat Murphy, is he going to be able to get, and they've had guys that have grown, too. Like, I mean, I don't think anybody thought Joey Ortiz was going to be this good offensively. Bryce Terang was bad offensively last year and is now one of their best, most productive offensive players. They had a lot of growth in some areas that I don't think they were necessarily expecting to have growth. Christian Yelich back to, hitting .320 at a 3-hit game yesterday. They've had a lot of things, despite all the things that have gone wrong, they have had a lot of things fall into place. And I don't know if anybody was, and we talked a little bit about this with Sophia yesterday, about the athleticism of this team and the way that they're winning games. They're not just sitting back hitting a bunch of dingers. They're being aggressive on the base paths, which ultimately has put them in position where they're in first place and on pace to have one of their best seasons ever.
800-990-3776. We are asking you guys, what is the most exciting play in baseball? Is it the triple play as Chewy is contending? And Chris, you said you found the details on that. Go ahead.
They only have one recorded unassisted triple play in professional baseball by an outfielder. Happened in 1911. Walter Carlyle with a score tied 3-3 in the sixth inning. Runners at first and second base. He made a diving catch of a short fly ball, stepped on second to retire the runner, and then tagged the runner coming from first base. The rare feat is the record books is the first and to date only outfielder known to have made an unassisted triple play in professional baseball.
We've got the inside the park home run that Jackson Churio did the other day. It doesn't have to be a Jackson Centurio inside the park home run, but an inside the park home run. And I'm willing to add Grand Slam to that list. And here's the reason why, folks. We are not putting a perfect game or a no-hitter on there because we're talking about electric. We're talking about exciting. We're talking about in that moment, boom, the whole place goes nuts, blows the roof off of the stadium, et cetera, if you happen to have a roof like they do at AmFam Field. So the perfect game is exciting, but that's sort of a building, mm-hmm. right? There's a building mm-hmm. of the excitement, and then you're waiting. To me, there's a more anxiousness associated with a no-hitter or a perfect game. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about electric, just that, like, shot of adrenaline. So what do you say, Gabe, if you had to take a vote of those three? You got the Grand Slam, you got the triple play, mm-hmm. and you've got the inside-the-park home run. Which of those three do you think is the most electric play in baseball?
Inside-the-park home run. Without a doubt. It's inside the park home run because you do get a little bit of that building aspect, you know, of, okay, he's at first base. Oh, the ball's still loose. He's at second base. Now he's round. Oh, this could actually happen. And then, you know, but it's happening all within 20 seconds. You get to run that gamut. Whereas, like, the Grand Slam yesterday by Bauer, it was awesome. But, like, off the bat, you knew that thing. I mean, it hit the scoreboard. Like, there was just no doubt. It was just, you know, you get ramped up. Whereas, with the inside the park home run, you kind of build to that excitement as he's getting to third. Is he actually going to do this? And then he takes off like, you know, like a bullet from third to home.
Dave from Aaron Wingen saying, don't forget, Yelich hit two cycles in 1 year. If you forgot about that, hitting for the cycle is exciting. So what that is, again, a building as the game goes on because you're sort of checking off all of those things to get to that point where you have all of them. Chewy, to your point about the triple play, it is the rarest of these feats. It has only happened 736 times since 1887. So there is something about that, it happening less frequently, that makes it more exciting, isn't it?
Well, how many perfect games have there been? That's like 13 or 14?
I think 20-something.
Yeah, 20-something for the perfect games.
But right. That's kind of boring, isn't it? A perfect game? Eh.
You're boring. Boring. You're boring.
I can be. I can be. I definitely can be boring. Just
I love what he's got. You want to see? Wife. You want to see?
I can be boring with the best. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the unassisted triple play is. I'd love to have that in my wallet.
Be a part of it.
I don't want to live in 19. Which position? I don't want to live in 1911. But
I was disappointed that his name.
I'd love
was
to
normal.
Have that record.
Like usually when you hear like a baseball record from 1913, like you're expecting some sort of weird wacky nickname. I was disappointed. Just, oh, Walter. Cool for you, Walter.
Could it have been Walt?
Yeah, but there's no more Walters anymore, Gabe.
That's a very good point. Walter? Nobody's naming their kid Walter anymore.
No one.
Unless it's a family name and you're like the third or the fourth or something like that.
Walter has glasses. He's an accountant. Huge dork.
I picture Walter Matthau. My brain immediately goes to Grumpy.
Oh,
man.
I love him. Yeah.
Now,
and I believe there was an inside. There was an inside the park home run in the Bad News Bears.
Of course there was.
And the Bad News Bears is the first team in baseball to ever use the shift. Can you tell me the name of the shift?
No, I'm not.
The Pavansky. The Pavansky shift. It's the very first shift in all of Gabe, you think
I think it was the Karansky shift, not the Pavansky. It was the cool perfect.
I get credit, though.
That's so perfect. Like, he's so close, but he's really not that close.
And the only reason he really remembered part of it was because he's Polish and it was a ski.
Chris, who was Karansky?
You bozo.
Perfect. Perfect.
I love Walter Matthau.
So perfect. Going from out on Walters to in on Walters. It's been a classic segment, big guy.
We have folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Dumpy in West Bend saying the most electric moment at a baseball game is when you're served two beers wearing a two-fisted slopper t-shirt. I don't even know what a two-fisted slopper t-shirt is, but that doesn't sound all that exciting, Dumpy.
You don't have to read every text.
I know,
but
I like reading Dumpy's texts. Kevin Wing in saying, did you know the first triple play was completed by our Milwaukee Brewers? Wikipedia fun fact of the day. How is that possible?
We just said that it was the Milwaukee Braves.
I mean, but even then, like,
Now, that's one I shouldn't have read, Gabe, to your point.
No, like, that's...
We should have fact-checked that one, Tony Rielli, first, and then come back to it. What is the most exciting play in all of baseball? The Brewers have been responsible for some very exciting plays recently. We talked about the three grand slams in the last five games. We obviously saw Jackson Churio with the inside the park home run, which we played for you a little bit earlier. And then we had the triple play. Chris, did you say we have the sound from the triple play that we were referencing with the Phillies the other day?
I do not have that sound.
Oh, no, no worries. I guess it was a 1-3-5. A 1-3-5.
Yeah, it was boring.
So there can be boring triple plays. Could there be a boring inside the park home run? Maybe that makes a case for what Gabe is saying, which is it has to be the inside the park home run because there's no such thing as a boring inside the park home run.
No. It's exciting. I remember when Prince Fielder had
his game.
I remember when Prince Fielder had an inside the park home run. That you want to talk about electric. That big guy rounding the bases, just going full sprint, that was an electric factory.
If the outfielder falls down and twists his ankle, that's a lame inside the park. Terrible. So, yes, there are lame inside the park home runs.
Because there's another outfielder that can get there and potentially throw it in.
I mean, how many of them are really backing up the other guy? Come on, it's like the catcher running down the line. I used to catch. Huh?
You need to go to a baseball game and see these guys back each other up, big guy.
Because they'll get yelled at, but yeah.
All right.
Do they?
How many of these guys are actually doing their job out there?
Larson has the triple play. Let's take a listen to the boring triple play that occurred in the Phillies game the other day.
His bat loop. Broke his bat, loops it right back to the mound. Harper will get the double play, and now they'll throw it to third for a triple play.
Unbelievable.
McKinstry had no idea what was going on.
Because it was a hit and run.
No, the guy just took off. Bases were loaded.
It was a hit and run. If you looked at both runners, it was a hit and run.
No.
I think you're wrong.
I don't know if we mentioned this or not, too, but it was the first 1-3-5 triple play since 1929.
Ooh.
Chris, was that a hit and run?
The runners were, I don't think it was a hit and run, no. The runners were very far off
the base. Your point, Larson, it must be because of the five, right?
It's got to be,
because you got triple plays all the time that involve the pitcher and then involve the first baseman, but it's the fact that there was a third baseman involved.
Well, no, because a lot of them would be around the horn. 5-4-3, triple play. You know, ground ball in the 30s right there.
Let me ask you this,
but it's
though,
it's the order, right? Because why would you go first and then to third? So it's the 1-3-5 in that order that makes it rare.
Why is the third baseman 5? He should be 6.
Oh my gosh, we are not
no, he should be 6.
The assignments for scoring in baseball.
It should be. It should go right to left like it does. It goes pitcher, 1, catcher, first base, second base, shortstop, third base.
Well, it's because of the shortstop. He's not technically on that line.
Because you have a first base, second base, third base, and that's a different, you know, shortstop. So it becomes a little bit of a different position. That's why
Folks, I would change that if I was commissioner.
Your list of priorities.
Is that the first thing you would do if you were commissioner of baseball? Should I have mentioned that to Manfred yesterday when I talked to him?
You should have asked him.
Oh, by the way, Chewy wants you to change the number system.
Plus, in the early days of baseball, the shortstop was considered the fourth outfielder as well. Mm-hmm. And so later on, the shortstop was moved permanently to the infield. That's why it stuck with the number 6.
There you go, Chewy. We do have reaction rolling in.
Full of information.
It's just... You don't like it.
I love it. I love the historical context. I love immediately he's got how many triple plays there were, 736 since 1887. I love all that stuff. Steve weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. He's watching the show on the stream, and you can as well. Inside the park home runs usually entail a mistake by an outfielder. That's why triple plays are better. They are perfection. Mm. And then Brewers with a Z and a 9 says 2 outs, bottom of the 9th, and a home run to win the game. That is the most exciting / electric play in all of baseball.
Walk-off
were we
dinger?
Remiss to not include a walk-off dinger?
I mean, you're probably going crazier because
like
you win.
It happens so often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's a different feeling when you get the inside the park home run because it doesn't happen all that. It was the Brewers first since like Yelich in 19.
We'll put it on the Jen Gabe and Chewy Twitter poll so you can weigh in on that. What is the most electric play in baseball, and we'll figure out if we're going to throw a walk-off home run on the list as well. Again, not including the perfect game, not including the no-hitter, because that's sort of a building as the game goes on. It's an accumulation of feats in each inning. We're talking about the one pop, the one thing, the thing that gets everybody on their feet in baseball. We got to take a break. We have Top 8 at 8 coming up next. But before we do that, guys, let me tell you about my friends over at Professional Construction, Inc. in Waukesha. Over the years, we have relied on our friends Mike and Michelle at Professional Construction, Inc. to help us handle some of the bigger home renovation, home fixes that we can't do on our own. We have talked about how they handled the woodpeckers that were putting holes in our baseboards, how they helped us with our balcony that was leaking water into our kitchen. They repitched that thing, and it has. We've got a ton of rain in the last few months, and we don't have a single drop of water in the kitchen. That's a huge relief. And oh, by the way, they finished our basement for us, which just gave us that extra space that we needed for our family to all live comfortably together. Mike and Michelle can do the same for you. It's a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships. And if you want to learn more about what Professional Construction Inc. can do for you, just go to their website, professionalconstructioninc.com. There you can see some of their remodeling projects, some of the things they have done for other families. Heck, you might even see my basement on the website. Contact Mike and Michelle at Professional Construction, Inc. If that's something that you need, they are the best.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. Yeah. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Change the way you do business. Take more control with the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line. All customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank, National
Jen,
Association.
Gabe, and Chewy
custom
are back
solutions
after this.
Built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Gremlins. Gremlins, Larson. Gremlins. Let's go out to Colin in Heartland, who wants to jump in on this baseball conversation about the most exciting play in baseball. Good morning, Colin. How are you today?
Good morning, everyone. I'm good. So I was at the game yesterday. Me and a buddy took five of our eight children, the five that could sit and watch the game, or so we thought. One of the plays that we actually saw was the inside park home run. So when it came off the bat, we initially thought it was going to be caught. And when he dove, you know, the entire crowd gave the, oh, and then everyone stood up, including all of our little children, and continued to cheer, even though they had no idea what was going on. The oldest was six. She kind of had an idea. But you want to talk about electric. That was quite an atmosphere and quite a cool play to see for the little kids. Pro tip, if you have kids, my recommendation is, club level, one, there's AC, and two, tickets are only $15 for kids. So that's all I got. Appreciate taking my call, and go Brewers.
Colin, we appreciate you calling in this morning and joining in the nonsense and frivolity of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great one. Scott weighing in saying the most exciting play in baseball is a walk-off hit with a close play at the plate. That from Scott in Manitowoc. And Connor saying back in the day when pitchers would walk Ryan Braun and fielder would follow it up with a dinger, that was electric. And then Dave saying Jen just wants to say dinger. Okay, sure. Dinger's fun to say, right? Dinger's fun to say.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you say dinger when you could say dinger? It's so much more fun than home run.
But yeah, but like, I mean, you don't need an excuse to say dinger.
Correct. 1,000,000%. Big Al. When you hear dinger, tell me you don't think of Big Al.
1,000%.
Thank you. I'm so glad. Let's. 1,000%. We're playing Top 8 at 8.
The Top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You fine.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The Top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The Top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The Top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
The Top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
Quickly, Big Al, by the way, now he's senior in high school.
Whoa.
Yeah. Thinned out. He's not really Big Al anymore. We'll explain Big Al to you later.
Big Al hits dingers.
Okay.
I am looking for a list of eight things here. In front of me, Jen and Chu guess back and forth. Once they each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans, 800-990-3776. I am looking for the last eight Bucks first-round picks who actually played for the Bucks.
Ooh, this is going to be impossible.
Yes. No chance.
Well, for sure, Marjon Beauchamp, who is the last one, I think.
Number one on the list, 2022.
Okay, good. All right. Fantastic. Off to a good start. This is where it gets dicey.
But again, that's where it's not necessarily been drafted, but drafted and played. So you should have a better chance because hypothetically you'd have seen them on the court.
Hypothetically, you've watched a Bucks game, yeah. Is what he's trying to say, Chu. Do you want to give a guess or do you want me to guess another one?
No, I got Giannis.
Giannis, number seven on the list.
Wow.
2013 draft pick.
Right. So basically we have it almost bookended. There's somebody behind Giannis, obviously, mm-hmm. but obviously it'll be between Giannis and Marjon. I know it. With the Knicks, white dude, DiVincenzo.
Dante DiVincenzo, number two on the list. He was drafted in 2018.
Now, that you saw what they're doing there, right? With the Knicks and how it's like...
If you're Tom Thibodeau, you're a little worried that you're going to get fired and they're just going to hire Jay Wright, right? You got to be a little concerned.
Jay Wright did it with all those
That's
guys,
what I'm saying.
Right? So...
You're just a little concerned.
Yeah, fair enough.
George Henson.
Wait, no.
Well,
I think Henson. Yes, he means
John Henson.
Correct.
Who is number eight on the list?
Yeah, that's. There you go.
Who's George Henson? Wait, is that the Muppets guy?
Yeah,
but he didn't say George, did he?
He said George Henson. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wasn't that Jim Henson?
Yes, it was.
And that was.
God, we are a mess.
And that was famously Jim Henson. Yes.
Okay. All right. How many do we have?
So you have one and two and seven and eight. So you just need the middle part: Marjon and Dante, Giannis and John Henson.
One and two, seven and eight.
I don't think we're going to get very. I think if you go back. Chu, did Jabari Parker play for the Bucks? He did,
that
right?
I was just going there.
He did
yes,
play for
he
them.
Did.
Jabari
he
Parker.
He was the first pick.
He was the second. Pick. He was the second pick, and yes, he was drafted pick. After Giannis, so yes. He was number six on the
okay,
list. Yes. 2014 is the year he was drafted.
This is very. See, you this guys, is, just so you know, this is very cloudy. This is a very cloudy yeah. space for me with the Bucks.
Well,
so.
You guys, I mean, again, you thought it would be difficult. You have five of the eight, so you guys have done very well so far.
Well, because the standard is so low.
Typically, yes. Yeah.
It was Bobby Portis? Mm-mm. Bobby Portis? He was a first round pick? Was he drafted by the Bucks? He wasn't.
That correct. Is correct.
Okay.
Chewy was right.
All right, I'm out.
I don't think I have any more. Reset the list for me one more time.
Marjon 1, Dante 2. You do not have 3, 4, or 5. Jabari 6, Giannis 7, John Henson 8. The last eight first-round picks who actually played for the Bucks.
Mm-mm, I got nothing. There's no way I got it. I don't have any picks.
We
I don't have
good,
any
though.
First-round picks in between. It's in between Giannis and who is the top
it's,
five?
It's between Jabari and Dante. So Dante
oh,
was
Jabari
18,
was
Jabari
of...
was 14. So between 14 and 18.
I got nothing. 800-990-3776. Let's open it up to the callers. We are looking for the first round draft picks for the Milwaukee Bucks who actually played for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Marjon 1, Dante 2, Jabari 6, Giannis 7, John Henson 8.
Mm-mm. This is just way too cloudy of an area for me. 800-990-3776. I assume there are Bucks fans out there who recall the first round picks in between Jabari Parker and Dante DiVincenzo. Ashton and Sheboygan, you are first up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I think I can. We're going to go Rashad Vaughn in 15.
That is correct. It's number 5 on the list.
Wow.
No idea. Yeah.
Val Thonmaker in 16.
Thonmaker is number 4 on the list.
Thonmaker.
Does he only need one more?
He only needs one more.
And then we just need... So does it count if they were traded on draft night?
No, they had to play.
Had to play for the Bucks. First round pick
they had to play.
Play for the Bucks.
Oh, boy. Uh,
Need an answer, Ashton.
I think I'm stumped here.
Oh, I thought he was going to run it.
Sorry, guys.
I thought he was going to run it.
God bless America. 800-990-3776. Looking for callers to play top eight at eight. It sounds like we only have one left on the list. So go ahead and reset the list one more time while we wait for our callers to populate.
Last eight Bucks first round picks who actually played for the Bucks: Marjon Beauchamp, number one; Dante DiVincenzo, number two. We don't have three. Thon Maker was drafted in 16, so he's number four. Rashad Vaughn is number five. Jabari Parker, number six. Giannis comes in at seven, and John Henson, number eight.
All right, Justin and Brookfield, you're up next. Justin and Brookfield, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top eight at eight list?
DJ Wilson.
DJ Wilson is number three on the list. He was the Bucks' first-round pick in 2017.
And you are our big winner morning, Justin and Brookfield. Congratulations, you win top eight at eight.
Who was the guy that got drafted and traded immediately?
Who are some of them? Like Stephon Marbury, Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, obviously those go too far back. There are two on this list, and Kevin Porter Jr. and R.J. Hampton, who are first-round picks of the Bucks, who are then shipped elsewhere. That would have qualified for this list.
I feel like the Dirk Nowitzki thing.
Good list.
I told you guys I have that book at home. It's like in Wisconsin sports history. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Dirk Nowitzki thing happened close to this time, because it would have been in the draft, obviously, in 1998. It was an on this day that I flipped past recently. What is today? Is today the 27th?
27th,
okay.
Yes.
So that was June 24th. Bucks trade rights to Dirk Nowitzki. And, of course, people thought that it was one of the worst trades in NBA history. But, again, as you have mentioned, he was never going to be a member of the Bucks.
Always was part of the plan. They drafted him as part of the... Because the NBA does it weird. Like, if you're watching the NFL draft and somebody gets drafted, like, or somebody trades for the pick, they announce, hey, they're trading for this pick. Instead, in the NBA, it's, nope, you're trading the rights of the player after you draft him. It gets all confusing.
Do you remember, Chu, who the Bucks did draft? Or who the Bucks did get? Obviously, they drafted Nowitzki, but who they did get in that whole fiasco?
Tractor Trailer.
Yes, there it is. Chewy was right.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Larson, you got the Chewy was right drop back there?
He was getting some information from the caller, so they got their prize back.
A lot of dust on it. He's got to dust it. There's a lot of dust on it.
It's been a while.
I don't know, you had one earlier this show as well.
Chewy was right. Holy
Chewy was right.
All right, more Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this, guys. Mark your calendars for Saturday, June 29th. It's the first ever bougie brunch inside the dark room at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Grab a friend and experience an extravagant five-course brunch menu prepared by the hotel's executive chef, along with bottomless mimosas. This exclusive bougie brunch experience will be held in the hotel's secret dining space, the dark room. Reservations are required. Seats are limited. Remember, it is Saturday, June 29th. That is coming right up. If you have a friend, if you have a significant other who you want to surprise with a bougie brunch, this is a perfect way to do it. You can learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up, and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things, which I think's a pretty good deal, which gets me in trouble.
You got a Viagra ring?
Yes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know, with Ewald, they're always going to make it easy, and they've got a new way to make it easy for you. Summer's upon us. You're probably going to be taking that big family trip. And you want to make sure your vehicle is in tip-top shape. And that includes fuel economy. And you can make your car more fuel efficient with the fuel economy improvement special going on now at Ewald Automotive. It's just $59. So don't wait for that next fill-up, because you can make your car more fuel efficient for less than it costs to fill up your tank. Schedule your appointment online now. Just go to ewaldauto.com.
This next question I have for you, gentlemen, is a debate about society and manners, and ethics, and equity, etiquette, I suppose, manners, etiquette. I'm at my daughter's dance class the other day, picking them up. Dance class ends at 11 o'clock. We're leaving. So we are walking towards the car, and I hold the door open for the group of people who are behind us. Now, my daughters are 4 and 6, and they continue walking down the sidewalk towards our car. No big deal. I don't expect them to get too far down the road without me as I hold the door for this group behind us. And the woman looks at me and she says, oh, thank you so much. I said, yeah, no problem. And then the group behind that woman, because again, we're leaving the dance class. There are many people. I'd say there are probably about 30 to 40 dancers in the dance class. So we have 30 to 40 families all leaving within a short period of time. The next group, I'm holding the door for them, and they walk out. No thank you from them, by the way. Just walked out. The next group walks out the door.
Nuts.
The next group walks out the door. The next group walks out the door. I am not exaggerating, guys. Seven families walked through the door that I was holding with nary an offer to take over the holding of the door responsibilities. And I felt myself go from kind, charitable neighbor who's just trying to do the right thing by holding the door for the person who was in close proximity behind me to, okay, I'm not holding the door anymore. My girls now are in the street. They're basically up to Cudahy by this point because that's how long I've been holding the door for the parade of people who are walking out of the dance class. And I need to know how I should have handled it. What is the etiquette, Chew, in that situation for me continuing to hold the door?
Well, if you don't have kids there, then you hold it for as long as you need to. But with kids, before a mild panic starts, I would have said, hey, I got to go. My kids are getting away from me.
Well,
it would have been perfectly fine.
But I think that's where the mistake was made. Once you open that door, now you're stuck. You could have just kind of kept it open for the person behind you.
The proverbial door or the literal door?
Both. Why not both? So, you know, kind of do the thing where you're holding it as you're walking past, hoping the next person grabs it, because you do have to obviously, you know, look after your children to make sure that they don't go wandering off into Cudahy. That's where the mistake is made.
There's nothing worse than that panic, Jen, when you feel like you lost your kid.
Yeah, they've gotten too
right?
far away. You can't see them. You don't know where they are. I mean, look, there are
and
times
that, that happened to me.
Like, where are the kids?
I was at Blizzard Beach, you know, climbing up to the top of one of the water slides. And there were two of them. You walk up to a platform, pretty high, but safe. And there's two slides. And I lost Dyson for a moment. And I'm looking around, and you start to get a mild panic until I heard the crowd of people go, oh! Well, he had pulled down his pants and started peeing down one of the slides. And I was like, I found him.
With a side of indecent exposure.
But that panic. Yeah, that panic is, that's one of the worst feelings in the world.
So now I'm seeing in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page comments that it's my fault because I volunteered to hold the door. And I'm trying to figure out, again, how to delicately get out of what apparently is now my job. Now I have been assigned this responsibility. I am just holding the door for the entire trope of parents and families who are leaving the dance class.
But you assigned it to yourself.
But I was just trying to be nice. So now going forward, should I not hold the door? Because on the off chance that I get stuck again in the parade of parents walking out, I'm just going to be like, nope, every man for themselves. Well, that doesn't seem right.
But you also know that all those families are coming out behind you. Like you said, like you're aware that all these, you know, people are in there. And if you're one of the first ones out, if you end up opening the door, you could get stuck. Like, that is a real possibility.
So now it's going to be like a fire drill when we're leaving dance class. I'm going to be like, we got to go. We're not holding the door for everybody. We got to get to the car.
Like I said, it's easy. It's like when you're at the ballpark. Like, we were exiting the ballpark yesterday. Like, there's nobody standing there opening the door. As you're going out, you know, everybody just kind of puts their hand against the door to make sure it doesn't slam on you. And the next person does it behind you.
I don't think
you go to the other side and hold it. You just kind of, you know, when there's a big group of people like that and you have small children that you don't want to get lost, this is the way you
and
have
so
to
part of it is, guys, that there were small children involved, right? Like, if it were just adults, if it were just parents, there's a part of me that would be like, catch it. I'm leaving. Catch it. Because there's littles. I don't want them to get stuck in the door. So I'm holding. But then every adult sort of took advantage of the fact that I was holding the door. At some point, you take over, right? Like, I feel like there's a human instinct that is like, oh, that person is holding the door. That's very kind. Let me take over for the person behind and not just parade through effortlessly.
I don't think I've seen that. I don't think I've seen someone go, oh, hey, let me take this over, because you don't know how long that person, maybe they just took,
I don't know. Somebody opens the door. Oh, I got it. And then you hold it. And then the next person, there's an expectation that the next person will grab the door. I'd never seen anything like it, Chew. I'd never seen anything like seven families with their littles, you know, around their knees and whatnot, walking through the door that I was holding. building as though this was my job. So Brian the Shaw weighing in saying, hey, this is what I called Chewy out for when he was mad that he didn't get a thank you for holding the door. You got stuck in the door holding zone. It is a thing.
Yeah, I think if you walk around, like church, you can't walk away. If you, when you pivoted around the door and held the handle like that, now kids are different. You know, having kids there, but if you didn't have the kids there, then you're obligated, I think, to hold the door until the flow stops.
And so that's how I got myself out of it, was after the seventh family, there was a little girl, and she was walking out before her mom and dad, or mom, or whoever her adult that she was with, and then she's standing in the doorway, and I can see mom is not coming. Mm-hmm. She's just standing there, and I pushed her back in gently. I didn't shove a kid, but I pushed her back in. I was like,
grab her by the collar.
You have to go back inside, basically, because I'm not holding this door any longer. My children are I can't even see them anymore. I kind of gave her a little, pushed her back inside the door, closed the door, and gestured to her mom like, she's here. I left her here because I got to go. And I just want, like, Gabe, it sounds like you're saying I
made a mistake.
You made
the mistake by like Chewy said, when you pivot around to the other side of the door, that's when you make the mistake. Especially when you have kids, you gotta, you know, hey, just put your hand on the door, make sure that the next adult behind you does the same thing, and that's how you kind of flow out of there instead of one person pivoting to the other
side.
And
Larson, you were saying that I needed to use the professional step of using my foot.
Yeah, if you can't use your whole body against the door. You have to, like, move forward and then basically, like, take all your weight away from the door and maybe put your foot a little bit backwards to hold the door open with your foot in the hopes that somebody will catch it as well then.
And all I saw was these little kids getting poof, smacked in the face with the glass door and thought, again, this is where I'm trying to be a nice person. I'm trying to do a good deed. I'm trying to hold the door, just the one. I don't need to do more than one good deed each day. Once I do the good deed, it's checked off the list and we can move on.
Well,
but
if a kid gets picked off after you close the door, that kind of undoes the good deed.
I agree. This is why I got stuck. I do love that there's a lot of people out there weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line who recognize this phenomenon, who have either been stuck in it or are admitting that they, too, have sort of passed through without taking over the duty. Dave from Aaron saying, you got to look back and make eye contact with the next adult and say, got this, and then just let it go. Luis saying, we call you the gatekeeper. Which I sort of was the gatekeeper. And then Dave also saying, you got to be the last ones out. If you're the last ones out, you don't have to close the door or hold the door for anybody.
That's a good point.
Brian in the Shaw saying, Jen, this was not your fault. Jokingly saying, but they are victim blaming. He's saying you are victim blaming. I was the victim and you are blaming me.
No, I don't think. I mean, victim of what? Victim of what? You're gonna claim victim? Doesn't that also undo the good deed that you did?
I think so,
you were doing a good deed for your neighbors, but you're the one who made the mistake of letting your kids run off.
Don't you think this incentivizes me to not do any more good deeds?
I mean, did you need any more incentivization?
800-990-3776.
Is that what we get into?
Have you gotten stuck in the door before? Have you held the door for people and just watched people walk through and 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 then go, hey, this is not my job. I'm not getting paid to hold the door for you guys. I gotta go. Let us know. 800-990-3776.
Summerfest is back. Week 2 kicking off today. That's right. Big gig popping off on Milwaukee's lakefront. And we want to send you out there. Callers number 3 and 4. Callers 3 and 4 right now, 800-990-3776. You will win a 4-pack of Summerfest tickets. That's right. 4 tickets on us for you to take your friends, your family, whoever you want. Callers 3 and 4 right now, 800-990-3776. Getting tickets to the big gig.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
he also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
During the summer, making memories with your family obviously comes first. So let the team at Great Midwest Bank make the mortgage process easy for you so you can focus on what really matters. Great Midwest Bank has the tools and the people to make your home buying process as smooth as possible. Great Midwest Bank's loan officers understand the importance of the little things in life. They will guide you through the mortgage process with care and expertise. You can learn more at their website, greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com. Lots of reaction rolling in on the door holding, the gatekeeping, as it were. Grant weighing in saying, don't be nice. Lesson learned. Ron in the Keys saying, Gabe is right. You hold it, make eye contact with the next person, and hand it off as you extend your arm and let the door go. Meanwhile, Steve says, I'm now imagining a skeleton standing there holding the door open. People are saying, who was that? Don't know, but they sure were nice. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, guys. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one. We'll be back with you tomorrow.